Hello, welcome to the Patient Activation Network podcast. I'm your host, Matt Cavallo, and we're live at the 2017 Plaintree International Conference on Patient-Centered Care. I have with me today Dr. Judy Campbell. Judy is going to share with us her personal story, and we'll turn it over to her now. Judy, thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you, and welcome, everybody. Good afternoon. Well, it's still good morning. My name is Judy Campbell, and I am a physical medicine and rehabilitation doctor at Carolina's Healthcare System in Charlotte, North Carolina. And when I was young, I had some friends who were interested in medicine. And one of them had a father who was a physician. And so I learned from a very early age, because of the pressure that they were putting on him, that to go into medicine would require a lot of dedication and tenacity. And there's something that happened later after I was older that changed the course of my life. And what happened was my father suffered a traumatic brain injury. He fell from a tree that he was trimming at his home, and he survived. And he was impaired, but he was able to come home, and he was able to do a lot of good. So that was what influenced me in becoming a physical medicine and rehab doctor. And 10 years later, I graduated from my residency program in PM&R, and I penned a thank you note to my mentors, and it went something like this. The making of a physician is a profound transformation. It involves cumulative experiences. Every patient counter has molded me into the person who I am today. You are blessed with a gift to provide comfort, reassurance, and education to your patients and family at a time when it's needed most. So thank you. Thank you for this gift. Being a physician is more than just skill. It requires empathy, sensitivity, and respect. People are not identified by their diagnosis or their disability, but who they are. And rehabilitation is a stepping stone from who you were to who you are and who you can become. And that was the sentiment that I felt by going into the field, because all those people who had come to our family and basically soothed our wounds as we were suffering through this change in my father that would impact us for our lifetime. So I penned that note, and I was preparing to leave Detroit, Michigan, where I did my training, and return to New Jersey to start my first job as a rehab medicine doctor, and I was very excited about that. And then later, I relocated to Charlotte, North Carolina, and joined the Carolinas healthcare system. But in my 12th year of practice, something changed. My father, at age 89, passed away, and it was 20 years after his injury. And he had outlived my mother in my lifetime. And that had happened, the injury, when I was 19 years old. And at that point, when that happened, something changed inside me. And the internal flame that always guided what I did started to diminish. But thankfully, I became friends with Kim, who is an integrative health coach that I met at church. And so we got together and we talked and we sat and we sat and we talked. And I learned that her joy was helping people to achieve their full potential. And so I thought that I was going to talk to her about how she can help my patients with behavioral change and setting goals. But little did I know that I was going to schedule an appointment with her and my life would be changed for making that decision. So I penned another note at that time. And that note was a year after I had met Ms. Kim. And it said, this year has been a tremendous time of growth for me personally and professionally. I have learned how much I am loved. And that love is not dependent on how many patient encounters or how many grand rounds that I present. But that love is based on how much of my true self that I share with others. And so with that, I made a decision to put down my stethoscope and start a journey to understand my true healer from within. And so it was a very scary time. It was uncomfortable. It wasn't what I had intended to do in going into medicine and spending all the time and the training, but it was something I knew that I had to do because I had lost that sense of purpose. I didn't know it at the time that that's what had happened. So I engaged in a period of self-care and learned what that meant. I thought I had known from the things that I did in college to take care of myself, but I learned a whole lot more encompassing it. So 20 months ago, I attended my second orientation at my organization. And it's for physicians. And a video was shared at this orientation. And it was called All Voices Matter in Patient Experience. So I'm going to repeat that. All voices matter in patient experience. And this was a Barrel Institute production that featured Carolina's healthcare patients and families expressing their gratitude for the compassionate and healing experiences that they had. And as I watched the video and it came on, I nearly jolted out of my seat. There on the video were two women, sisters, along with other clinical vignettes, but the two sisters I knew. And I turned to the doctor sitting next to me and I said, I know them. And they were expressing the gratitude for care that they received that I had helped them with. And I can't tell you what that meant. One, for that to be captured on video, and two, for me to be able to see it. And I don't believe that would have happened had I not taken that time off. And so the purpose of showing that video, by the way, there was a purpose to it. It was to show the impact on how good communication can impact your relationship, not only with the patients and the providers, but also your colleagues and anybody you interact with, in a way that conveys value and respect. So after I saw this video and that had happened, I said, I am going to need to schedule that class. They were marketing a resource at Carolina's Healthcare called Curo Conversations. So, curo means to care for in Latin. And curo conversations is a model to a framework to help you in the language that you use and your eye contact and your personal behavior to allow you to make that personal connection with your patients. So I scheduled for the class. It was a month later after my orientation. And this program has been championed by one of my colleagues, Dr. Justin Haney. And he is a cardiologist with Sanger Heart and Vascular Institute. And he is the executive provider consultant that helped to develop Curo Conversations. And he explained one thing that really struck a chord with me. He said, make sure when there's any type of negative energy or emotion in the room that you address that head on. So he basically was teaching you must assess and respond to the emotional content in the room. And when he said that, it really struck with me because I realized, and I said, I never do that. I don't do that. And I tried to make some reasons why I didn't do it. But I learned that, you know, that was just, don't go there. That's not what I'm here for, is basically what I had no conscious knowing of it. Any event, one of the things that he recommended was, you know, you go into the room, particularly if it's full of family members, and you assess, or if you see it, you're going to acknowledge it, but make it intentional. Whoa, I see a lot of frustration going on in here. And that opens up and allows for the dialogue. So, within one month of my class that I took, I was rounding on the weekend. It was Memorial Day, a holiday. There was no charge nurse. The usual clerk who helps at the front desk was not there. And there were two people who were critically ill. And I noticed by the corner of my eye that there was a gentleman who didn't look so well. He had been admitted over the weekend, and I could tell that he would need attention. But at that point, I had to take care of those people who were needing to be sent out to the emergency room. We're freestanding rehabilitation, and so that's how we handle that. After I took care of that, I started to think of that gentleman and how he must be doing, and shortly after, the nurse came up to me after I had that thought, and I could see that she was very visibly distressed and anxious. She was not distressed and anxious about the patient that I had seen, but his son. And the short of it was the son was starting to unravel about how his father was looking for part of the morning and into the afternoon. So I supported her and then made my rounds to enter the room and address what she had discussed with me. And I have to say that this was an experience that I never had before to this degree and probably will never again, another life-changing experience. As I entered the room, I could feel the denseness of the negative energy. Before I did that, I took a pause. I knocked on the door and I introduced myself. When I entered, there were four people in the room and I made eye contact with all four of them. The son was sitting by his father's bedside. And next to the son was the pastoral care chaplain sitting next to him, thank goodness. And standing up was a friend of the son. Meanwhile, the patient, He actually looked more alert than when I'd seen him earlier. So, in essence, this gentleman was very upset with the quality of care and had very, very specific things that he had grievances about. So I listened and decided that I was not going to defend the quality of care, but I was going to respond to his emotions. So I asked the chaplain if I could replace seats with him, and I sat down with the son. And he later, within a few minutes, decided that he was going to leave. So he walked out, but I pleaded with him, please don't leave, please don't leave. He stopped at the door jamb of the room. He planted his hand behind him. He staked his cane on the floor. And then just stood there. So I walked up to him and I put out my hand. I asked him if I could hold his hand. He put his hand on mine. I covered it and I just stayed silent. And within a few seconds of that, his tears came. And he basically said, my mother died 2 years ago. And she had a litany of procedures done to her. He went on to describe all those procedures. And then he said, I am not going to make it if this happens to him. So I share this story to say we all have our struggles. And one of the most important things that we can do as we're in this space and trying to achieve what we're trying to achieve in healthcare, that the most important thing is that we speak our truth. And for me, coming here and doing this talk is to say that I needed to step back in order to learn how to speak my truth and make connections. We are in the same boat here. But if we open up to one another and ask questions and get the information that we need, we can make a difference. So the main point of this story that I want to express is that for us to understand that relationship and connecting with others is the foundation of contentment, regardless of your circumstances. And we say that we have worse circumstances in our ability to attend to our patients because of all of our responsibilities. And while that may be true, when my father was injured in 1990, I had a similar experience as a 19-year-old, but I was the family member, and the physician was called in to try and smooth over our grief. And unfortunately, he was not well equipped to handle our family. And that grievance I had held on to until, truthfully, just recently. And I learned that I can now forgive that experience, because I now have additional skills and tools to help equip all of us through a program like Curo Conversations that can make a difference in addition to all of our technical skills. So thank you for listening, and I appreciate you.
Thank you, Dr. Judy. We really appreciate you too, and we appreciate you sharing such a personal story. And thank you all of you for tuning in with us and being live in the audience. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back again soon.